Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a familiar tap on the shoulder lets a listener know her aunt is still here. Also, a girl is strangled and tormented regularly by a girl wrapped in vines. Mocking a gravesite seems to have dire consequences for one listener, and an honored figure appears to a listener shortly before tragedy. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. A girl wrapped in vines? Or she have like vine arms like a horror movie? Or?
It sounds like she had vines growing over her or something.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of those moments where you go, oh, if you're dead, do you have to carry along whatever way you died with you? You know, like some people who die in horrible car accidents, they show up looking like they were just in a horrible car accident, and some don't at all.
I don't know why.
How does that work? Why does that?
I don't think this was a girl, to be quite honest.
Something else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm excited. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be an EPP, get all those bonus episodes of the program, you do that at ghostpodcast.com. So lots of ways to get our show. Go right over to our first letter of the day. And here some ghost stories comes into us. How do you say this name? I-S-A?
Isa?
Maybe it's Isa. I think so.
I'm not sure.
You. If you were in the room with the person, just go, you.
Uh-huh.
Just point and be like, yeah, you. I'm talking about you. Yeah, you. I don't know your name. Yeah, you. Isa. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Great show. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I finally got the courage to write in my encounter. My mother's cousin passed away back in March of this year. I just called her my aunt. I had become very close to her since she was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2013. We joked her last couple of days, and I told her that she better not come visit me because I'd probably have a heart attack. I stayed with her a couple of nights at the hospital, just her and I. Her last night, I knew I should go, but I was just so tired that my sleep just got the best of me. I went to work, got the call that day that she had passed away. I did go see her at the hospital and thought I'd be scared, but I wasn't. I was calm and even went up to her body and touched her hand. That night I got ready to go to bed, and my cousin was in town visiting me, and we slept in the same bed since I have a California king. She stayed in her corner and I stayed in mine. She was already out and passed out and snoring with the covers over her. I got into bed, turned the light off, and grabbed my blanket and pulled it over my body to cover me all the way to my shoulder. I then felt a quick smack of the hand on my shoulder. Before I go further, I must tell you that whenever I made my aunt laugh, she would smack me on the shoulder like a love tap and tell me how silly I am, and I would make her day better. I know that I felt the same love tap that night, and I felt her presence. I nodded my head, telling her no, that I was going to sleep because I was too scared, and I said that in my head. The feeling that you get from someone's spirit, soul, energy, whatever it is, it quickly went away. I knew it was her, but I just couldn't turn around to see her. I went to work the next day, and when I got home that evening, I asked my cousin if for some reason she did the tap to me last night, and she said no. My mom heard our conversation, and I told her what I felt, and I knew it was her. My mom then tells me that she saw her as well, and that she was sleeping and woke up and looked up quickly, and my aunt told her, just wanted to say hi, and asked her to make sure she took care of me and my daughter. I have regrets. I wish I would have turned around, but then again, maybe she knew I couldn't see her.
You know, it's one of those things, you know it. It could have been anybody tapping you on the shoulder or probably just your cousin that night. But mm-hmm. The thing is, you just know. And that was like her way of saying, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that signature move, I guess.
And that's where you should have turned around.
Well, but maybe nothing would have been seen.
Maybe. I understand the fear and being like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to, just in case, mm-hmm. You know, because you really don't know. But, man, she probably did the right thing. She followed the advice of Ace of Base.
Don't do this.
What? Do what? I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. What? What would I do?
You were going to break into an Ace of Base song, because you always break into songs.
What's wrong with Ace of Base? You liked Ace of Base. I like Ace of Base.
I liked Ace of Base 20 years ago.
We all like Ace of Base. It's just right there on the tip of my tongue.
Don't.
And I'm debating whether it should like be the intro of the song or it should be just the hook. We should just throw it out there and let our listeners vote and then on a future episode.
Yeah. We'll do that.
I'll do Ace of Base. Don't Turn Around. Do you like Don't Turn Around or The Sign better? Or All That She Wants?
Probably The Sign.
Yeah. I really was into The Sign. I got sick of it. Then the Don't Turn Around came out and it was like, ooh, this is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just thought we'd discuss a Ace of Base today. Why not? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Ella writes in, my good friend Carla has been experiencing for a while something insane. Started the ending of the year 2015. We were sleeping over at our friend Nia's house one night, and Nia and I had left Carla to herself in Nia's room. Carla was on the floor and suddenly felt like she was being strangled and suffocated. She then saw a figure, a little girl with vines around her. The next time she saw the girl, it was in her bathroom mirror behind her. After we'd been hanging out at a friend's house late at night, and Carla got the same strangling feeling, and saw the vines and, of course, this little girl. But when she turned around, it was gone. The occurrences stopped for a while until she was on a plane with her family. She had her complimentary eye mask on and was sitting next to her younger sister when she felt like someone was scratching her. When she took her eye mask off and yelled at her sister to stop, she realized her sister was fast asleep. After that, the entire plane ride felt extremely claustrophobic and suffocating, and she swears the little girl with vines had something to do with it. The most recent occurrence was when we were in a car coming back from a party. Nia's brother Yan was driving, and the passenger seat was empty. Nia and our other friend Emma were in the front row, and Carla and I were in the back of her car. Carla suddenly felt sick and suffocated again. She started gasping for air and crying. Carla freaks out and closes her eyes and starts yelling, someone's in the passenger seat. Please help. Get away. Get out. Go away. We freaked out, immediately not knowing what to do and trying to calm her down. She'd have moments of silence and then look up at me with weird eyes and go back to closing her eyes and talking about something in the front seat. She never described or told us exactly what she saw, unfortunately. There have been more times that this has happened, but if I told you every single one, you'd be bored. These characters she describes are not shadows. They're not mist. They look like real people, except she knows they're not. They never stay for long. Do you have something?
No.
Oh, I thought you looked at like the mic like I mispronounced something.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. from my perspective, the only want to freak her out. We've talked to people who claim to know something about paranormal occurrences, and they have said there's a weird vibe around her house. Even so, we had occurrences where we've been talking about the issue and weird things have happened, like butterflies landing directly on Carla's head and refusing to get off. Even so, her boyfriend has had night terrors on her bed in front of her. If anyone has any idea what this could be or if it's harmful to her, we'd love to hear something back. Honestly, this is my last hope. Thank you.
I don't think it's good. I don't know what the girl in Vines is, but I don't think it's good at all.
Seems like this should be something that maybe the regular old asking it to stop wouldn't necessarily stop.
No, I don't think so. I think this is more of a something that plagues her wherever she goes.
Yeah. You know, I don't have there's no silver bullet to this. There's no, like, here's exactly what you do and it all goes away and it's wonderful. And you're going to get suggestions of everything from, you know, saging to salt to this and to that. I think this may just be something to open up and do everything at your own risk. Understand that, because the things that you try sometimes in these situations to make them go away sometimes makes them worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part about all that. But if someone or anyone wants to post some replies to that or comments, go ahead and you can do that up on our Facebook page, either underneath this episode or just on the guest posts area, and title it something easy to see, you know, Vine Girl or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And maybe we can find some ideas, or you can find some ideas and feedback there from the community on our Facebook page. So go ahead and leave your replies there, everyone, and they can go back and review them that way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Anonymous writes in, I'm a new listener to the show, so I hope you share my story. We have two stories, but I'll make them quick. Here's some background. I'm sensitive. Something that I get from two great-grandmothers, and my dad is also sensitive. When I was younger, I had a lot of deja vu and weird experiences. When I started college, I had weird sleep paralysis that always featured people standing around me and trying to talk to me. These occurrences mostly happened if I napped during the day, but never at night. They stopped as soon as I started keeping my dog in the room if I decided to take a nap. I also have dreams of dead people every now and then. One of my great-grandmothers died when I was there, when I was three. I met her one time. She did a lot of genealogical work for our family, and now that's what I do. I had a dream with her in it. I knew that it wasn't a regular dream. I can always tell if the person is really dead in my dream, if they don't talk. They never do actually talk. And in my dream, she handed me a cigar box. I held it in my hands, and I knew that I needed to keep my eyes out for this cigar box. I'd already found a few at my grandparents' house, and so I took the dream and kept it in the back of my mind. Months later, I went to my grandpa's house, and he told me that he found something that had been his mother's. As soon as he said those words, I knew it was the cigar box. He took me upstairs, opened the dresser drawer, and handed me the cigar box. When I touched it, all the hairs on my arm stood up. I opened it and found it was full of pictures of my great-grandmother and her siblings when she had been a child on the prairie of Colorado in the early 1900s. I had never seen the pictures before, and I know she wanted to make sure that this important part of our family history got passed on to me. The second story is a little darker. I was living in town 2 hours away from where I grew up, and some friends found an old grave on some of their newly purchased property in a secluded wooded area. It was an older site. The headstone was badly weathered and was hardly legible. I remember standing around it, thinking about how I could best identify those graves that it had been. I remember feeling so sad about it, secluded and forgotten. The friend that owned the property was standing next to me with his wife. Suddenly, he started saying really hateful things about the grave and who might be buried there, you know, speculating about why it was in such a random part of the property. The feeling around the grave changed. A bird came out of nowhere and dived at him, trying to hit him. The air felt heavier. It was eerie. His wife told him that he deserved it. That's what he got for speaking badly about the dead, and we kind of went about our business. I told my sister about the finding, working on family history. It's really important to me to log graves and find families and share information. I told my sister about the bird and what my friend had said. She told me that if I went back to get some information off the marker, I needed to take my dog with me. I didn't listen to her. I didn't want to get distracted, worrying about what kind of trouble he might get in if I took him off the leash, so I thought that it would be best and be fine if I went alone. As soon as I got to the grave, I knew I made a mistake. The pressure around me changed. The feeling that I had about the area became negative, and I was terrified. I couldn't breathe. All of the sounds from outside, the bird sounds and bugs, stopped. It was like someone had pressed a mute button. I knew that it was. I knew what it was. I had been with my friend when he was disrespectful, and the person who resided in the grave, the spirit of them, remembered that. I could feel the hairs rising on the back of my neck, and I said, "I'm sorry for what I said what he said the other day, but that was him. I was trying to find out who you were." As soon as I said it, the bird started chirping again, and the feeling went away. The headstone was too worn for me to do much with it. Never forget that feeling. I don't go anywhere like that without my dog now. Those are just two of my stories. Hope they weren't too long and that you'll share them. Thanks.
I think that if you are with somebody and they're doing something that you know is disrespectful, I would almost voice it right then. This is disrespectful. I'm not part of this. And, mm-hmm. and walk away. So something doesn't decide to take it out on you.
Just, it's like a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you go, well, why did the ghost think that? Why did they think that be good to be negative around this person who didn't really do it? It's the same reason that, you know, if you were by yourself and then suddenly a group of people came over and they were kind of rude or mean to you. I'm thinking more so like when you're a kid, mm-hmm. you know, like teenagers and there's mm-hmm. the big kids and the bullies or whatever, they're coming over. And, you know, then the next time you're out and you're alone and then you see one person from that group come over, you're going to be just as hesitant to be near them because you're thinking, oh my God, it's that group of people. Even if that one person that wasn't mean in that group comes up, it's the group thing.
It's guilty by association.
Yeah, and it still apparently applies in the ghost world. So, there you go. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You're at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. Lisa writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to the show now for about 6 months. I must say that I absolutely love listening to you guys. Tony, you're hilarious. I enjoy listening to all the different stories that come in from your listeners and the advice you guys give people. I've never personally experienced anything that was paranormal, but I am really interested in the subject. My story isn't really a ghost story, but I was hoping you guys could help me understand it more. Before I was born, my family lived in a haunted house. My mom would say that she would hear things banging around in the kitchen during the night. Would sometimes see faces looking in their window while they were trying to go to sleep, and something scared our golden retriever so much that when my family returned home one day, she had peed on the floor and was hiding in our parents' room. Dog was fully potty trained and would never have incidents in the house. It started to really worry my parents because I have two older siblings that were living in the house at the time. However, my mom told me that everything changed when she first brought me home. She claims that all the paranormal things that were happening in the house had stopped the night she brought me home. And you could understand why, but my parents were happy. As I was growing up, my grandma and mom would always tell me that I have an old soul. I was always shy and stuck to myself. I still feel to this day I didn't really fit in with anyone around me. I've always seemed more mature for my age, although people tell me I look a lot younger than I really am. In 2002, I had a dream that I was at my friend's house playing in her basement. Her mom called down saying that I had a phone call. I ran upstairs and answered the call, but all I could hear was heavy breathing and gasps for air. For some reason, I knew this was my grandma and there was something wrong. And I started to yell, "Grandma, Grandma, what's wrong?" And as I started to panic, I woke up and instantly felt relief. It was just a dream. I was really close with my grandma because she was one of the only adults in my life that seemed to care more about me than themselves. I didn't want to ever feel that panicking feeling ever again, so I went back to sleep. The next day, she'd suffered a heart attack and died later that evening. I couldn't understand why I had that dream or what it meant. Was she trying to tell me that there was something wrong? I wish I'd called her that day or went to her house and checked to make sure she was okay, but I just assumed it was a dream and ignored it. Last year, my mom had a massive brain hemorrhage that destroyed 80% of the right side of her brain, and she was on life support for a day until we decided that we would take her off. She had a hard life and wouldn't want to be on life support. She did a lot of unforgivable things, but it was still heartbreaking to watch her go through that. She held on for about 16 hours, and the doctors were shocked because usually people don't hang on that long, but everyone is different. My mom's husband was in the room with her all day and most of the night, and my sister and brother didn't want to be in the room. Her husband asked me to stay with her so he could have a cigarette. Now, 1 minute after he left the room, and it was only me and my boyfriend, Mom took her last breath. Do I really have an old soul? Is there something about me that made my mom and grandma try to be near me in some way before they died? Does it repel all paranormal activity? And that's why everything stopped the minute I was brought home from the hospital as a baby. Why would I have this dream about my grandma, and why would my mom hold on for 16 hours? And the minute I was in the room with no other family members, she passed. What do you guys think? Can you maybe help me understand this better? Thanks for reading my story. I look forward to listening to all the scary stories. Thank you, Lisa.
Well, I think there's too many questions there to really answer. I think the most, probably the most important question is, you know, why these people seem to kind of hang on until she's around. And I think it may be that they're just, you know, comforted by your presence or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's necessarily a paranormal thing. And I know sometimes people can take a while when they're taken off of life support. So it could have been maybe that she was hanging around for you to be there. I don't know. I don't know what somebody's capabilities are when they're in that state, but it's almost like maybe she knew.
I think there's some sort of connection to the paranormal event stopping when she came home.
Yes.
As a baby.
Yes.
And then a paranormal connection with the grandma who passed, and that dream or message, really,
mm-hmm.
that came through. It's an interesting one to think about as to why did all the paranormal stuff start, and she seemed to be the reason for it. Was it something dark that was repelled by her and her positivity, or just being new to the world? I don't know.
I don't know. I do, you know, I know a lot of times there can be paranormal stuff when you're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that suddenly
like ramped up and then stopped.
Yeah. So it could, you know, kind of coincide with the baby coming home.
Yeah. It's a difficult one to know the answers to all those questions, and I don't know that that anyone will ever actually have all of those answers for you. But thank you for sharing the experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Bunk bed bells.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they beautiful? They're shiny.
Mm-hmm.
They have our names on them in Sharpie.
You can read mine, and Tony's is a squiggle.
He's kind of a squiggle, too. Kind of a squiggle. Of a squiggle.
You can tell at least
it's a J.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can identify who's who by the fact that Jenny has a J.
And it looks like a preschooler signed them for you.
Kind of. Well, that's how I learned my signature in like preschool. Right. I think it was later than that.
You started doing your signature in preschool?
Yeah. I was signing up on things.
I don't think so. No.
No, I don't know. I think it was more like, that's probably junior high. Right around there. When you start to... I think it was in that era.
Okay.
Right around. I don't know.
You were important.
No, it wasn't. I was important. It was just, I think it was like they were teaching you like you need to have a signature for, it was like, you know, life lessons type stuff, mm-hmm. you know, for like signing checks and, you know, just learn what to do. So you have a signature. So that thing is probably when I developed it. Anyway, bunk bed bells. We have still more to send out, and I'm going to be getting some of these out here through stamps.com. In the coming weeks. And by the way, if you want to use stamps, I love that stuff. The scale is lovely. and you just print your postage off. It's super easy. You can go to stamps.com and get a 4-week trial offer, including postage and a digital scale too. When you you type in our code, which is GHOST, really hard to remember, GHOST at stamps.com. But I'll be getting some of these more of these bells out. I was gonna do it earlier in the day, and time got away from me. But they are indeed coming.
Okay.
Just so everyone knows, when you sign up for the yearly EPP membership and you claim your bunk bed bell, give it about 4 to 6 weeks for the bunk bed bell to arrive. Because I got to get the email. I literally write out the envelopes by hand. And then I put lipstick on and I kiss each one of them.
Right. And then you seal it with wax to make sure it's not a broken seal.
I don't quite go that far.
Right.
But the lipstick is true. It's like, why does this package have lipstick on it? It's like a man lips. Weird. What's
just me? It's wrong. It's just wrong.
I don't quite go that far either. But I do sign. I do write everything out in Sharpie. So it's not exactly a quick process. So anyway, bunk bed bells. If you want them, you can still get them. Ghostpodcast.com is where to do that. Sarah writes in. Let me just make a note here. There we go. I adore your show, and as I have a job where I'm on the road a lot, I listen quite a bit. I have a lot of ghost stories to tell because my family has a history of practicing the occult. I will say that my great-grandmother was not a very good person, did a lot of negative witchcraft things that seemed to affect us for generations. But for now, I'll just tell you one story. My grandfather was a very practical, intelligent man living in New York City. He was very good with finances and owned a small engineering business. And at one point, was able to own own four lovely houses. His father, who divorced his great-grandmother, and I told you about, was a college professor, and Grandpa took after his father more than his mother. Grandpa was also very interested in quantum physics and the concept of numerology, but we never took his interest seriously. When I graduated high school, I moved in with my grandfather, who attended college in Manhattan. My mother also moved in. My grandfather's house was enormous and very old. One morning, my grandfather was acting strangely sentimental. I was getting ready for work, and he cooked me breakfast, kept hugging me and telling me how much he loved me. He said he wished he could have given me more support to follow my dreams, and if I ever needed him for any reasons, he would be there for me. I didn't understand why he was acting like this, and even as I waited at the bus stop across the street, he stood at the stoop of his house watching me. I didn't think too much of it, but that evening, my mother showed up at my job in tears. Grandpa sat down at the steps that morning and died. My niece, who was only a year old at the time, said during the funeral, "Pappy went up. Pappy is gone." Years later, in 2013, something strange started happening to me. I randomly feel an ear tug at the oddest moments, usually when I was in the middle of a stressful situation. Finally, one night, I had a dream that my grandfather was trying to talk to me. He was holding a dead plant in a pot, and he told me that as long as there's breath in my lungs, there's always hope to achieve the impossible and be the master of my life. He asked me to tell this to his children. He then handed me the dead plant, and before my eyes, it became alive. He then leaned in and said, "Don't forget to always pay attention to 13. I told my mother, aunts, and uncle about this dream, and they all agreed it sounded like something he would say. From that day on, I can feel ear tugs whenever something important is about to happen. If my bills are past due, or if my car needs to be taken in, or if there's an important letter I need to keep and look out for. Things I might usually forget. I'm not a very fastidious person. He's always reminding me to be responsible and make good decisions. My niece claims she always hears Pappy reminding her to turn the lights off when she leaves a room. After the number 13, my husband and I purchased our first home on 13th Street. I'm an aspiring writer. On the 13th of this month, after an ear tug, I checked my email, and my first manuscript was accepted for publication that day. Grandpa certainly made good on his promise to me the day he died. I know he's watching out for us all, and over the years, I've learned to pay close attention.
I think sometimes dreams are more than dreams, and that was an important one to just kind of have that closure there, but also to pay attention to that number, and it's actually carried over, you know, and turned into something.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest tell of all.
How did he know he was going to die?
That's what I want to know. And what was his deal? Like, why, what did, you know, did he know he was sick or was he not sick? I mean, how did he know that?
I don't know. I mean, it's almost like, you know, sometimes, you know, animals know that sometimes. And yeah, sometimes it's because they're, you know, they're injured. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're just not. And they're just old. And they just, yeah, like, okay, I'm going to go walk in the woods and I'm going to pass away. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess maybe it's just a feeling we all get. And maybe some people are more astute to it than others and go, oh, this is a feeling.
Yeah.
This, okay, well, all right. I don't know. It's an odd one. And I could see some, I could see myself who has anxiety to be like, oh shit, is this a feeling? Is this a feeling? Do I need to tell everybody how much I love them? Because I'm going to die right now. And doing that for like the last 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
Just like you're old and anxious and you're like, shit, is today, I better.
It's like you pull a muscle and you think it's a heart attack.
Yeah, I've done that before.
I know. That's why great I said fun. That. That's why I brought it up.
That is great fun to have. It's one of those things. It's funny because, you know, after I turned 30, I remember, I think I had like a physical around that time. And the nurse or whoever was there was like, oh, yeah, it's all kind of downhill from here. And she was like, I don't know, 38. Not that we're old.
No,
but she was just like, yeah, you know, from here now you're going to start getting like weird aches and little things here and there. Just like a happy birthday to me.
Most of my stuff crapped out in my 20s.
Sure.
You know, my thyroid quit working right.
Sure.
And other issues. So my eyes have never been good.
Yeah.
Got those fixed when I turned 30 and now I'm back in glasses. So I'm not worried about here on out.
No, I'm not really worried. I do agree, like there has been more like aches and pains in areas where I guess it would have taken a lot more to get aches and pains there before.
Yeah.
I'm sure it just gets worse from here. And there's probably someone listening who's far older than us going, wait, so you have no idea. But I agree. It probably just, you know, and there you go. But then eventually we become zombies. That's the life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies at the very end.
Okay.
I made a real creepy zombie video today.
You did.
By the way, it's up on our Facebook page. It's a little promo for the show, but it's creepy. It's got creepy music and zombies all over it. So if you want to if you want to see the creepy zombie video Tony made, and clap your hands with excitement like I did when I was done, it's up on Facebook. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Mark writes in, I've studied ghosts and the paranormal for nearly 30 years. I never heard a story like the one below. Well, this should be good then. In Berlin, Germany, on September 17th, 1946, my mother was a girl of 10 and in bed with her mother. She'd put her young siblings to bed and had gone to sleep, tired and hungry as they had done many times before the war in a war-torn city. My mother awoke abruptly and turned and shook her mother as she knew something was wrong. She woke up and asked what the matter was. Their eyes were drawn to the wall to the loft of the bed, the floating head of their father and husband, surrounded by a wreath and crying blood, floated slowly around the room across the walls from left to right. Its lips were moving, but my mother couldn't hear anything. It vanished when it reached the other side. My mother asked her mother what it had said, and she answered that it was only for her, and she died, never telling us what the message was. My mother noted the date in this story in her diary, not that she ever forgot. My grandfather was a high-ranking Nazi, not SS, but a political animal, and he was shot by Russians in a forest in the 17th of September in 1946. The family only heard about this in the 60s through the excellent work of the Red Cross while my mother was in Australia. Could it be a crisis apparition, a realization at the point of death? Why surrounded by a wreath like in ancient Rome? I'm from Wyndham in Norfolk and was a manager of a library for 10 years. It was a 900-year-old building, an ex-school, an ex-chapel, and I saw precisely nothing. I've been told I have the gift, but have managed to put up a wall to keep stuff out. Maybe that can be a gift, too. Regards, Mark.
I think it is a gift. And honestly, I think it was probably like a death visit. I don't know why it was wearing a wreath and it was just the head, but I think it was a death visit to let its family know.
Mm-hmm.
His family know that, you know, he was dead, because it was obviously not going to be figured out anytime soon.
Yeah, and very dramatic fashion, mm-hmm. too, the way it was spinning in blood and very bizarre.
It is very bizarre, and I can say I haven't heard a story like that one either.
I cannot either. It almost sounds like one of the a horrible, disgusting, disturbing, animated GIF image. Or GIF, you know,
yeah.
Or like they have dancing bear, whatever, you know, these people post them. It's like, what the hell is that? I mean, that's, it just sounds something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I heard a story when I was a kid from my forgot who told me this story. My aunts or grandma or somebody did. But it's nothing to do with a spinning head. But they, in their basement out of the fireplace, their house got struck by lightning. And a big fireball came flying out of the fireplace.
Oh, really?
Just like an orb almost. Projectile mm-hmm. straight across the room and just...
Oh, wow.
Didn't set anything on fire. But it was just, I don't know how that works. It does happen, though, depending mm-hmm. on how the house is set up. This is not like this is a natural occurrence. It's not necessarily paranormal. But I guess freaked the hell out of all the kids that were playing in the basement. My mom was in the crib upstairs. But I guess it was just like, and the girls, they still talk about it if you ask them. And it's like, it's a creepy thing.
Sure.
I mean, it, essentially this fire orb that just goes, shoots out and bam, done. But I don't know how, is that like, I mean, it's obviously from the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like almost like a plasma ball, the electricity that's flying out there?
I have really no idea. And it makes you wonder if maybe, you know, it's particles of stuff from the fireplace, too.
Yeah, I wonder if some of that like plays into.
Because all of that, you know, soot and ash and all that, that's all flammable.
Yeah, just dramatically heated with energy being mm-hmm. shot at it. Creepy stuff, though. It made me think of that.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. So, anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our number. Trinity, or Trinley writes in, I've got so many stories. I don't know where to start, but because of the baker on the early shift story from the recent episode, I'm starting with a workplace early morning alone in a shop story. I worked in a light industrial setting for most of the time I was there. I was the one coming in around 7:30 a.m. to unlock the place, get things started up for the day, and would be there alone until about 9 a.m. when my coworker, Sherry, who I hope hears this and reconnects with me, would come in. And her shift would go from 6 to 7 p.m.-ish. And either she'd lock up or turn over the shift to the night guy, who was a former Marine. What we made there were small batches of single or small batch, specifically often personalized items. So we'll do graphic work, drawings, typesetting layout, setting up the machines, running the machines, did engraving, carving, take orders by phone, walk-ins, etc. Each of these duties taking part in a different place, a part of the workspace. So my morning might start with setting up and warming up the machines, and then the phone would ring, usually the absentee owner, so I'd set down my tool and run to get the phone and then come back to my work area, and my tool that I'd need to get the project going would be going from where I'd set it, and I'd retrace my steps, go from work area to work area, check the bathroom and the supply room where I hadn't been yet looking for it, and eventually it would turn up in the place I'd set it in the first place and had initially looked for it. Of course, this only happened when I was alone in the building, so it wasn't a coworker or someone messing with me. Also, I'd heard about two or three times, I think, in the time I worked there, a voice from the entrance calling, "Hello," like a walk-in customer. This happened only when I was there alone and when I was off on the other side of the machines and no line of sight to the entrance or office area. Mostly these things would happen when I or my coworker were in the building alone. Some of the other pranks were rather extreme. A part of the machinery that needed a special tool to turn on and off would be turned while the machine was running. Glassware that we'd be etching or engraving, even just sitting on the table waiting its turn, would break with no one near it. With a part of the engraving machine that scanned the artwork, there was a piece of glass that would get placed over the artwork and clamped down, and when the source art was changed, the panel of glass would get set on the table where it should have been completely secure, but go answer the phone or talk to a customer and that plate of glass would somehow go from the surface of the table, where it had been lying flat, to broken on the floor 3 feet away. Apparently none of this wacky stuff happened to the guy on the night shift, and he'd often make fun of us day shift gals for the stuff that happened to us. Also, because it was night shift, he pretty much just ran the machines and wasn't expected to also do graphic work, answer phones, etc. So much of what happened over by the machines or elsewhere happened when we were out of sight for that area of the workshop. Between having a Buddhist and a Wiccan sharing a shift, we worked out ways to try to make peace and healing for whoever was there. Sometimes it worked out better than other times. Even then, it did help provide a happy, homey environment for us to work in. We figured that if someone's a ghost in there because they're hurting or needing something, but without a good way to find out what they needed, we tried for healing and reducing the hurt. There did seem to be two different personalities, one that was clearly angry or distressed, the glass breaking and things that wrecked projects, things like an X-Acto knife going missing and then turning up difficult to reach under a work table and stabbed into the floor. It couldn't have just fallen that way. If it fell point down, it'd have been close to the edge of the table. If it just fell and rolled, it would have been on the other side. And the other personality was a prankster, tool hiding, minor pranks sort of things. One night after mocking us for weeks, the former Marine who worked the night shift was there alone and the power went out. He left the building before his shift was over, left everything turned on, and didn't even stop to lock up. The next morning, he called saying he wouldn't be back. Wouldn't give any reason why. Just not coming back, sorry. He wouldn't even come into the building to get his last paycheck. Just called and said, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. Someone will have to bring it out to me. I only worked there for about a year and a half and left because I had an offer on a much better job. I eventually lost track of my lovely coworker, Sherry, who I taught bookbinding to. And I hope she'd call in or send in her own story about this place. One of the last times I'd heard from her, she reported that the workplace had burned down. Haunted? Probably not. Insurance scam or tax evasion? Maybe. Probably just accidental. It was an old building from the late 1800s that had been originally a school. Someone who'd worked in the building said they had a coworker many years ago who had died at 16 or 17-ish in a car wreck, that they thought the ghost was a young man. Maybe that explains some of the teasing of the women in the workspace.
It could be. I don't know. I would think if it were kind of mild and just teasing that it wouldn't have scared a Marine away from his job to where he wouldn't come in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
It's difficult to say. I mean, it's usually an easy guess sometimes when you have a haunting. Well, who died recently? And mm-hmm. then, well, that's that person. Not always. In fact, I think rarely that's the answer. And I agree. If it scared the Marine away, there's something very, 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 very dark, probably even more so than what they saw during the day, that showed itself to the Marine, or something just very disturbing and, you know.
Now, that's not to say if it's, you know, not demonic.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't sound like it's demonic.
No.
Not knowing what happened with the former Marine.
Sure.
But, you know, it could be that it just liked the two that were kind of trying to help out and mm-hmm. ease it on to the other side and not the other one.
Kind of just played games.
Yeah.
Almost like a pet.
Could be.
You know, like a ghost pet. I'm not saying it was a pet, but I'm just saying it's kind of like, you know, oh, I like you, so I'm going to interact with you more.
Yeah, and I'm going to bite the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the other one's maybe not paying attention to me or ignoring what I'm doing until one point they just had to rattle the cage so much mm-hmm. that this is what happened. So thank you for the experience and the story. We appreciate that. Corinne writes in, hello, I've been listening, or haven't been listening too long. This story takes place in my parents' home in Michigan in the early 2000s. We lived in a few acres on a dirt road in a house that wasn't too old, but the land was farmland in the past. I actually think it was an apple orchard, as much of the area was in the 1800s. My sister and I began having occurrences in the house as soon as we moved there. We both had bunk beds in our rooms. They were the type that the top was a bed at the bottom of the couch, and at night. We'd often be woken up by the bed shaking at night and immediately get off and run to the other's room, where we'd sleep in the same bed for the rest of the night. Didn't always help, but it made both of us feel better to know we weren't alone. I began sleeping on the couch portion of the bunk bed because it was easier to get off and it didn't shake as severely. One night, when just this thing was happening, according to my sister, she saw a little blonde girl standing outside of her window while it was happening. I never saw anything like that, but occasionally saw a shadow figure dart about the house. It was often in around the bathroom by our bedrooms, and while I never really told friends that were visiting about it, they'd often get a creeped out feeling in that bathroom, like they were being watched. Fortunately for us, in this instance, my mother only liked staying in any one house for 2 years at most, so we didn't stay there for very long. Right before we were going to move, I was sitting in a little side room, one that was probably intended to be an office, doing my homework before anyone else got home, when the craziest thing that happened in that house occurred. From the kitchen, living room, dining room space came the sound of a party. I mean, people chattering, lots of movement, and old jazz music. My dog that was with me in the room, and he hulked out. He was the sweetest dog. The only time I ever saw him get away was when someone broke in through our back door while I was the only one at home. I just gripped on his collar and made sure he stayed in the room with me. I just sat there terrified. Well, it went on for nearly 45 minutes. In the end, it just dissipated. I didn't leave the side room until my mother got home and with my siblings. I don't remember if anything happened after that until we moved, but that was enough for me. If I was home alone, I sat outside as much as I could. I usually hate moving, but I was very ready to leave that house. That's one of my stories and definitely the most terrifying. Everything else I've ever experienced has always been harmless, at least I think human. Thanks for the show. Best, Corinne.
It is a good thing that they didn't stay long. It sounds like that house probably had quite a history, just by what's going on.
Hearing the party going on, I wonder, would you see anything if you went and examined it?
I don't know.
That's very common amongst a lot of, like, older hotels and things of that nature, where people will hear things like that. And I think a lot of times when people go to investigate them, there's just nothing there. Sound may even just go away at that point. And that to me, sounds kind of like a residual something.
It does. But, you know, the more stories we get, the more it sounds like sometimes there's a residual that goes along with something. Like, sure. It's a side dish, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you've got your main haunting with a side of party noises, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. 'Cause there's something about the energy there that just keeps that going. And I don't necessarily think it's always a good energy or a bad energy either way. It's just there's a lot of energy.
It's like the old school cassette tapes where remember you could get like 30-minute ones, the 40-minute ones, and then there was the ones that you could do like 90 minutes of music on, and there you go. This is a 90-minute cassette tape. It has all the wonderfulness of the other cassette tapes with some of the ghosts on, but you get an extra 30 minutes there of whatever the hell else happens.
My analogy was so much better.
It was.
It was.
I like the cassette tape.
I know you were going to just work in that somehow, but
how did you know it's going to work in cassette tape?
I knew you were going to work in something obscure.
Yeah, cassette. I was just thinking about that with, just you know, because we're talking about this. I always think of cassette tapes when I think of residual things.
Oh, really?
I do. Just because it's like it's something being played back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my mind goes to. And then you said it was something that was added on. So I'm like, oh, how do you add? Oh, yeah, longer.
I just felt like it's, you know, two types of hauntings.
Sure.
It's like the two meat platter at the barbecue restaurant. You know, they're different, but still kind of the same.
I do agree. Two meat platter was better. I do.
See?
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Pam writes in, "Hi from Saskatchewan, Canada. Loving the show. I'm hooked. I have many stories I would love to share, but this one sticks out of my mind, and I treasure it because it was a happy yet traumatic experience in my life. When I was 15 years old, about a week earlier before, I'd lost one of my best friends. I slept in the basement room at my childhood home, and one night I woke up and thought my dad was in the doorway, but it was a cloudy-looking male with antlers on his head. I sat up and looked at it for a few seconds and felt very calm, and then I turned the light on to the door and shut, and the door was shut, and no one was there or standing in the doorway. I bolted upstairs, panicked, and woke my family up. Had a very long night. Slept upstairs the next day, and my sister slept downstairs in the same room because she's so brave and all. No sarcasm intended. And that night, she had a visitor as well, but of a little girl that was very sad and looked like me, telling her to look after me. So, that got me worried. What was coming for me? I had a few close male friends, and they would always come over to visit at my house, and it didn't matter if I was at home or not. They'd come over and bug my parents or just visit them. One evening, I wasn't feeling great, so I just laid in my bed, and my mom yelled down the stairs that my male friends were over, and I yelled back upstairs. I'm not feeling great, that I don't want to visit right now. Mom just told the boys, and they would come over later or when I was feeling up to it. I had a strange feeling in my gut. I needed lots of rest, just an uneasy feeling like something bad was going to happen. And then it did. One of my friends was in a head-on collision and passed away suddenly the day he was over, and I didn't want to visit. I went to his viewing, and that night I had a dream about it. I was crying, and I was angry. He hugged me and smiled and walked through the bright light. Needless to say, my mom and I did research, and the man in my doorway was a native tribal protective spirit looking after me. That's what I believe, anyway. I would love to tell you more of the visits I've encountered of friends and family that I've had dreams of walking into the light, but that will be for another day. Thank you for letting me share my story. I'm wanting to let people know that there are other things on the other side that are watching over us at all times. Love what you guys do. Keep it up and have a great day.
I have to disagree. I haven't heard of a good thing with horns.
No?
Have you?
I haven't really looked it up.
No, I just haven't heard of a good thing with horns, and I almost wonder if that was kind of bringing the bad luck, the curse, the whatever it was, where the little girl was like, you better watch out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost feel like that's two different things. And maybe if she had visited with this friend, she could have been with that friend when the accident happened. I don't know.
Maybe the little girl, for some reason, was being protective of her and making her not want to go do anything. And yeah.
Yeah.
And doing some sort of influence there. No, I can't say I've done any research on that, so I can't really say yay or nay that anything with horns is good. My reaction, my gut would be, it's probably not that great, but I'm wondering if it's more, if there is something out there where it's, you know, antlers and it's a spiritual something that's, so not to say that couldn't exist, I just don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe they can fill us in on what they found and where they were led to believe that or why they do believe that. So feel free to let us know with a follow up. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for sharing your stories with us. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus materials. Get video stuff, all sorts of great stuff up there. All those bonus episodes, 130 some of them, now up for your downloading enjoyment at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.